You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be with you this afternoon and do hope that the things that we say will be useful to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Bible. Again, we encourage you to follow along in the Scriptures if you can, or at least take down the things that we say to make sure that we are staying within the boundaries of God's Word. This is, in fact, a live radio call-in broadcast. So if you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead right now, give us a call. The lines are open. The number to call is 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
We are now today, we're glad to let you know that this is a live broadcast. We do want you to call in right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI. We have an operator standing by here, and we're ready to take your questions to the question that's on your heart. 308-WJNI, and we'll be glad to get to your question. We have a question left over from last week. Had Judith call in this question, and Judith, we hope you are tuned in today and listening. And her question has to deal with marriage and divorce and remarriage. And her question is, can one be married again if the original spouse is still living? And so that is her question. And so, Judith, I would direct you to open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 3. That's Matthew chapter 19. Beginning with verse 3, and I think we will find the answer. In Matthew 19, it says, beginning of verse 3, the Pharisees came to him, testing him, saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? And here's Jesus' answer in verse 4. Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So, then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So, what's his answer so far? Well, his answer so far is, no, it is not right to separate and divorce. So, they reacted. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her who commits adultery, whoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery. And so we have here that there's only one reason at all that is ever given in God's Word in the New Testament for someone to marry, divorce, and remarry, and that is when there is sexual immorality. Now, Judith, I would also direct you to Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, 1 through 5 right in there, and then it talks about the idea of how that one is free to marry again when that first mate is dead, then they're no longer married to them. If they are married to more than one, then they are called an adulterer or adulteress. And so that's Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. And so please consider those two passages of Scripture, and that will be able to answer your question. So, Judith, thank you so much for listening, and we hope and pray that it's been helpful to everyone today that has had that question. You can call us right now. The lines are available. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we want you to know that this is a live broadcast, so go ahead and call in your question right now before our lines fill up. 308-9564.
You know, as we talk about marriage a little bit, we may as well talk a little bit more about that today. You know, sometimes it can be challenging because we make this promise the day that we go and we find the person that we love. We make this promise before God to be with that person in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. But in essence, what we're doing is these are not empty words. We are making a vow before God. In the Old Testament, what we'll see is that God takes those vows very seriously. In Numbers chapter 30, in verses 2 and 3, we'll see that God was holding man accountable to his vow. Numbers chapter 30, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. In verse 3, it says, if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and binds herself by a bond, being in her father's house, in her youth, the idea is that she is held to that vow as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21, we find similar language. And what's interesting is Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 5. The Bible says, better is it that thou should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. So God is holding us to those things that we promise him. When we get married, we're making a commitment to another person, and God is the witness. And thus, God's going to hold us to that vow for as long as we live. At least, that's what we commit to. And that's what marriage is about. It's about being with a person and committing yourself to this person for the rest of your life. And sometimes, you know, it's difficult. Marriage is not easy. As we would note in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 through 24, we'll see where God instituted this covenant of marriage. And in instituting this covenant of marriage, again, the intent would be for the man to leave his father, verse 24. For therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that's the idea. You're leaving mother and father, you're joining to your spouse, you're becoming one flesh, and the intent is that you're going to be with that spouse for the rest of your life. If you'd like to join us right now, you can. The number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. It's time for us to take our first break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call. Call in right now with those questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We're back live now, and we want you to know the lines are available. You can call in your question right now at 308-9564. We sure appreciated the caller from last week calling in that question. And her question falls under a category that we'd like to pursue today, and that is items or subjects that are not commonly taught on in the churches of today. And the reason for it, because they are just too much of a hot potato. They are unpopular. They cause people issues that may cause people to go away and not pursue after righteousness. And those are subjects that our Lord commonly dealt with in the first century. There was in Matthew chapter 23, he dealt with the idea of how that people were drawing themselves after man, and how some were lifting themselves up to be called father, rabbi, and making themselves of great importance. And Jesus made that very clear. He called them that they were whited sepulchers. And, yeah, they looked white on the outside, but inward they were filled with dead men bones. And so Jesus never shied away from a subject because it was not popular or because, as we might say today, it was just not PC. That is politically correct. Politics has nothing to do with Christianity. Some things are hard to swallow. Some things are very easy. But the bottom line is all of God's Word is what we must be focused upon, whether it is popular or unpopular. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. So the preaching of God's Word sometimes is popular. It's in season. People like it. They want to hear more, more, more. And some of the big-time preachers of today, they have quite a following because that's all that they are willing to talk about. But there are some times when the preaching of God's Word and the subjects under consideration are not popular at all. Matter of fact, they will cause people to shy away and turn away from the right way. This is one of those subjects, and there are many other subjects in the Bible that are like that. And so we want you to know that we want to declare unto you the whole gospel message, the whole counsel of God, and not just part of it. You may have a question about some of these. We'll look to see what God has to say, because when all is said and done, it's going to be what God says that matters, not what anybody or any person, whether it is on the radio or anyone else, has to say. God's Word is the only thing that matters. You can call right now, 308-9564, and we'll look there for the answer, nowhere else. 308-9564.
Another one of those subjects that fall into that category is this idea of right and wrong. Believe it or not, there are many people today that really do not want to believe in the sense that they believe that there is a right way and that there is an only way towards salvation. And that there's a wrong way, or when we think of the wrong way, typically we'll say that only a handful of people are headed down the wrong way. And yet when we look in the Scripture, God is very clear about there being a wrong way and many people heading down that way. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except by me. And thus, that would basically lock out anyone or any religion that chooses to reject Jesus from having access to eternal life in heaven. Now, they'll have access to eternal life, just not in heaven. Jesus says very clear there in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. And so he is the only way. And if a person is not going through Jesus, then a person will be lost. That's a very difficult subject, and a lot of people don't want to talk about that subject, but the Bible declares that that is true. In addition to that, when you accept that Jesus is the only way, sometimes what happens, we begin to think that everyone is going to be saved. But when we look in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in Matthew chapter 7, picking up in verse 13, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And so when God talks about this way that leads to life, he doesn't paint a picture of a lot of people finding that way. And so, again, it's difficult for us to think about the idea that a lot of people will not be saved if unless, of course, they follow that narrow way. Again, this is God's message, but it's not a message that's taught a lot. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564.
There are a lot of subjects that are often neglected today in a lot of the churches that are going on, one of which would be denominations in itself, denominationalism. Now, the Bible is very clear about the idea of division and following after man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Jesus brings out, or God brings out through the writings of Paul to the first church there at Corinth, with it had problems like this. It seems that they were having some kind of problem, division. There were divisions among them. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says in verse 10, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that's whose authority that he's pleading through, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So that was the pleading. That's what God wants. That's what he desires of his church today. By the way, as you drive down the road, is that what you see? Do you see all the churches saying the same thing, being perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment? Well, you're right. No, that's not what we see. What we see is the next few verses that have gone to seed. The next few verses says, for it's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. And now this I say, that each one of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course, the answer to those is no, no, no. That is not the case. But yet there are some who would throw themselves after, or at least be led by, influenced by man more than God, more than Christ. And the very moment that we begin to do that, we are in complete violation to what our Lord died for. And that is that we might have salvation, that we might be redeemed, we may be part of his church. And so if we follow after a man or movement or somebody or something other than Christ, then we are in fact in trouble. And so we've got to make certain that we are not part of something like that, that has grown into all of these various churches speaking, teaching diverse things. God's word, if we're just going to stick with it, should be acceptable by all. And thus the intent of this program is to let the Bible speak. To that end, that we are committed and to find only what God has to say on every subject on our heart. You can join us right now by calling 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We want to let you know that the information we're about to offer to you is absolutely free, and so please take advantage of this. Call that operator even right now while we're at break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843 563-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
All right, we're back live again. We want you to know you can call in your question right now. We've got three on deck, and we are ready to answer those. But we want you to know you can go ahead and call in your question while the lines are available. That is 308-9564. We have someone just now calling in from Charleston asking this question. Can a brother be a member of the Masonic Lodge and be scriptural? Well, what we have to do, this fits right into what I was just reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he's pleading that we all speak the same thing, that we go by the same rules, same authority, same judgment. And if there is some other authority, whether it is Doctrine and Covenants, whether it is the Book of Mormon, whether it is Brother Know-It-All, whether it is some kind of club, if we go by any other authority than what we can read in God's Word, and that includes everything that's not in God's Word, then we are to be accursed. Now, I would direct you to the passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 1 as well. Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, let him be accursed. And so if we do that, then we're going after another gospel, and Christ has become of no effect unto us. And so let's stick with God's Word. And so now, as far as clubs, if there's no religious allegiance to something like that, that's an entirely different question. But if there is spiritual allegiance in some way other than allegiance to Christ and following His Word exclusively, then we are in trouble, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Matter of fact, just read verses 6 through 9. That will help you a lot. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9.
I got another question, or two of them, that come from Pamela, and I'm going to seek to answer both of these with one passage of Scripture. It says, does that mean, we were talking earlier about marriage and divorce and remarriage, and so Pamela has a follow-up question. She says, does that mean if a non-Christian marries and gets divorced, then comes back to Christ, and then get married again, is that sin? And I think that's what the first question is. The second question is, if a couple gets a divorce and they are in the Lord, then one of them gets remarried, does that free the other to remarry also? And here's part of the problem here with these questions, is that the questions almost seem to associate being right in the marriage based upon your relationship to Christ. If I'm in Christ and I do something, or I'm not in Christ and I get married, then that kind of determines whether or not that marriage is lawful or not. But when Jesus speaks of marriage, he doesn't locks it in to just those who are in Christ, but rather he speaks to all mankind. I'll call your attention back to Matthew the 19th chapter. In Matthew the 19th chapter, in verse 9 in particular, Jesus says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife." Now, Jesus says this long before the church is ever established. And so this is not a law that was isolated to the church or those who become part of the church. But this was going to be a law that was given to all mankind. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality or fornication," some of your translation may say, he says, "and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who was divorced commits adultery." Jesus in this text only gives one reason for divorce. That reason is sexual immorality committed by an individual. Matthew chapter 19, verse 8 and 9.
Okay, and verse 8, he even goes on to say that from the beginning it was not so. So this law, this understanding of what God wants about marriage and divorce and remarriage and now that God joins us together, has been a timeless law from the beginning of time. And so that's the way Jesus brings it out there in Matthew. And thus, the law is timeless, no matter what dispensation, whether it was before the law of Moses in the patriarchal age, or whether it was in the Mosaical age, or whether it's in our age, we can know and be assured that when God joins a husband and wife together, no one is to separate. And so that's the law from that standpoint, what God says. And thus marriage is something that God binds together. The number right now you can join us is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak. And by the way, if you will take that passage and read on just a couple more verses, all the way up to verse 12, Jesus brings out that there were some that would not be willing to accept this. And so so you can even read further in that, and that may be true even today, that there's some that are just, this is just too hard for me to accept. Well, Jesus understood that, and he speaks of that on down in verse 12. Again, that number, 308-9564. Thank you for your questions on this. We are very honored that you are listening and that you desire to hear what the Bible speaks. We have another question?
We do. This is from our good friend Ben, who calls week after week. Ben, we appreciate you calling in again today. Ben has a question on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And so let's begin by reading that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. This is Paul writing to Timothy and giving Timothy these words. Now, Ben says, what is the endure hardness? What is that speaking of here? Well, if we go back to verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we'll find that he's talking about this idea of being strong. In fact, from the actual Greek, that phrase, endure hardness, is one word in the Greek. It means to suffer hardship. It means to be a partaker of affliction. In verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he tells Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so that's how he starts kind of this passage, by telling him to be strong. In verse 3, he says, you therefore must endure hardship, the idea of suffer hardship, the idea of being a partaker of affliction. In verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. He describes this man's walk as being a warfare, hence the reason why he was going to be a partaker of affliction or endure hardness. Notice also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Again, to join us right now, you can, 308-9564. I believe we have someone live.
Yes, I believe we have Karen online here. Karen, are you there?
Yes.
How can we help you?
Yes. Yes, I am calling in reference to, I'm a single person.
Uh-huh.
And now, no kids, no husband. And,
oh, you need to turn your radio down. It'll confuse you with the echo. So, in that way, you can concentrate. Go ahead.
Okay. And the reason I am calling, because the only sex selection we have out here seems to be divorced husbands.
Well, and that's that very well may be the case, but that's not exclusively the case. There are many people who have sought to keep themselves pure and holy, and so there is someone out there. It's just a matter of whether we're willing to pray about that and be able to let God help us along that line.
So that if I do say, well, I'm going to marry this divorced person, am I considered an adulteress also?
Well, it depends on if they are free to marry again, based upon Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through, we'll just say 3 through 12, then that is the case. There are some that obviously are free to marry again because they were guilty of, or someone was, their former mate was guilty of adultery. But I tell you what, it would be best to find someone who has never been married as well, because that way y'all will have a common experience together as you go through life. It'd be much wiser to do that. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you, Karen, and thank you for listening, and we sure do appreciate your listening in today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. I believe we have another caller live to be on the air, and so we're getting to you in just a second. And we want you to know that this is a live broadcast. You can call in your question right now at 308-9564. We do have one line available, and I believe we have a caller right now standing by.
Sandra, go ahead. Are you there?
Okay. Sandra, we're sorry about that. Call back if you don't mind. We will try to get you on the air. And she had a question about marriage as well. And so this is a live broadcast, and thus we're trying to get everybody on the air that's trying to get in. 308-9564, 308-WJNI. And we will be glad to get you on the air and also your question on the air as soon as we can. Okay. All right. You're live on the air now. Sandra, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you doing? How can
I'm
we help
good.
You?
My question today is, the Bible says that, you know, you can only get divorced if, you know, there's been infidelity in your marriage. But it says that he whoever marries that person who has been put away has committed adultery.
That's exactly right.
I've never been able to understand that. That means that you're not entitled to be remarried from what I'm getting.
Well, that's what the Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9 very clearly brings out. And so we've got to make certain that that we're trying to be what God wants us to be. And the verse I mentioned earlier that makes it very difficult for people is sometimes people will look at that and say, well, God wants me to be happy, so therefore they will go ahead and pursue other marriages. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, if we're going to get caught up in this life, let's say that we've made a terrible mess of our lives with multiple marriages or whatever the case may be, following the world, basically, and we've made all of these commitments. Remember what he said to the woman that was taken in adultery? Jesus said, go and sin no more.
Right.
And what he said to the woman at the well, you have several husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. And
right.
So they're told to repent. In order to repent, they've got to stop that sexual sin that they are participating in.
Now, let me ask you this, because when he told her that she had several husbands, it seems that he was acknowledging those seven husbands.
Oh, yeah, according to man.
As being her husband.
That's right. That's right. And so that
the one that she was with, apparently she was not married to that man.
That's right. And thus, that was wrong. From the beginning, he said, it was not so. He expected for one man to be with one wife for life. That what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so that was the intent that God made for marriage. And thus, verse 12 of Matthew 19, he says, there are eunuchs, and a eunuch is someone that has deprived himself of this marriage privilege of sexual encounter. He says, there are eunuchs who are born thus from their mother's womb. In other words, they do not have that part of their body. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and I think that's exactly what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And then he said, then there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And I think that describes Paul. Paul chose not to marry so that he could serve the Lord with the purity of no distraction of caring about a family. And so then that would be a good description of who he was. And so the whole point there is, if our eye causes us to sin, it's better to pluck it out. And so whatever causes us to sin, we need to put it away. Heaven is too wonderful, eternity is too long, and hell is too hot to play a game.
I know, that's right.
Play a game here and now. And so thank you so much, Sandra, for calling, and we sure do appreciate you're calling
me. One more thing before you go now, because I want to make this clear, because a lot of people have this question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been married twice.
All
and
right.
There's no part in the Bible that gives you the right to be remarried, but there is a part, I believe, in Corinthians somewhere that says you can leave your husband.
Well,
if he's been unfaithful to you,
and 1 Corinthians,
and you are not no longer bound.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 7, it goes on, but the 1 Corinthians 7 never addresses remarriage. It only talks about being reconciled to your first. And so that's what 1 Corinthians 7 is talking about.
And also in Matthew chapter 19, it does reference remarriage. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, it says, marries another. And so specifically, it's the one who cannot marry another is the one who, again, is guilty of this fornication or sexual immorality.
Right.
And so that the innocent party is seemingly, from this passage, free to marry again. Thanks,
okay.
Sandra. We sure do
Thank
appreciate you.
You
calling in and listening. And we
you.
Pray that you will continue in your Bible study.
Okay,
I believe we have another caller standing by to be live on the air, and hopefully we'll be able to get you on the air. What's his name?
Virgil.
Virgil.
Virgil, looks like you got disconnected. If you would, go ahead and call back. Don't hesitate to call back. And sometimes we'll apologize that you may be on hold just a little bit while we continue to answer questions. And so go ahead and call back. I think Virgil's back here. Give us 1 second. We'll see if we can get you live.
Okay. Virgil, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Now we got you. All right. How can we help you?
Yes, I had a question. I hear what you're saying concerning the marriage topic.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you have a lot of women that are in abusive relationships. It's not so much that the husband is cheating on them, but the husband may be physically abusive to them.
I know.
On a weekly, daily, or monthly basis.
Yeah, I know some women that have done that to men, actually. So, yeah.
It's very true.
Unfortunately, it goes both ways on that case. And so what do you do about that? Well, the Lord told the woman that had abused her sexuality, go and sin no more.
That's right.
And so that's what we've got to do. We've got to repent. Whoever we are or whatever kind of situation that we may find ourselves in, we've got to go and sin no more. Not
yeah.
be involved in it, and not be the recipient of it either. Heaven, as I said earlier, heaven is too wonderful and hell is too hot to miss out on eternity.
In addition, God always intended for marriage to be forever. There's an interesting passage in in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "Now unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or to be reconciled to her husband." And a wife and a husband is not to divorce his wife. So even if, you know, we get ourselves entangled in a difficult relationship, and I choose to leave, and by no means is God saying, yes, you can do that. Here it says, even if you leave, I'm still to remain unmarried or reconciled back to my spouse.
Yeah, that's actually bondage. You know, I believe that's bondage simply because the Lord doesn't desire anybody to be in bondage. And a lot of the mistakes that people have made, they may have made those mistakes not even knowing Christ. A lot of folks married and didn't even know the Lord. You
know, they
never experienced salvation. So
there
and
are
they may
a
have
lot
gotten
of...
a divorce in that case scenario. But when they come to Christ, all that's forgiven. You know, even if they married someone else, say they got divorced. Say they were married in sin. You know, they didn't know the Lord. They never received Christ. And say they divorced as well on the same terms. But they became to know God. And a gentleman may have gone out and found a godly wife. You know, they found someone that they believe that God has sent them, but they were married before. Well, the marriage ceremony is holy unto God.
Let me ask you a question, Virgil. Let me ask you a question. Let me illustrate it this way. Now, let's say before I become a Christian, I go out. I go next door and I steal my neighbor's coat. And then I go and I steal my neighbor's car. And then I go and I steal my neighbor's wife. Now I become a Christian. Do I have to give the coat back? Do I have to give the car back? Would I have to keep his wife? Or does the blood of Jesus Christ make the coat clean, the car clean, and that wife that's not mine? Does it make her clean as well?
Well, those things, those physical things such as cars and material things as cars or coats are different when you're talking about an actual person.
Well, the Bible
you know?
Talks about, there's an example where Philip tells, John tells Herod that it's not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. Herod had married his brother Philip's wife.
That's
and
right.
John tells him it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.
That's right.
That's the example we have in the scripture. And I understand that this subject is difficult for a lot of our listeners. All we're going to try to do is just stay within the boundaries of the scriptures. And I know this is a very difficult subject, and what we encourage all our listeners to do is to study this deeply, study and pray about it, but make sure at the end of the day that whatever answer you come up with, you come up with based upon what you see within the pages of the scripture.
Okay? Well, yeah, I understand that, but the only thing I'm saying is you got a lot of people listening in, and a lot of people may have married again. So what is a lot of people have so many unanswered questions. Folks are listening to the message but walking away bound, thinking, hey, the marriage that I'm in, the second marriage that I'm in, is condemned by God.
Well, the thing is, everybody, no matter what kind of situation, and let's say that I'm in a homosexual marriage, as is getting popular in some states in the United States, and let's say that that's the kind of marriage that I might be in. Well, when God condemns such a practice as that, would he condone such a marriage as that? Well, absolutely not, because it is the practice that is sin. The only place that the sexual relationship is proper is... What we have to do is understand we've got to let God's word be the deciding factor. And that is, if I'm going to practice, I need to practice what is right in God's sight. And the only place that the marriage relation, only place that sexual encounter is proper, is when two properly married individuals are married by God. What God has joined together, let no man separate. And those are the only two individuals that can be allowed that kind of practice. And so we have got to repent of those things, whether it is homosexuality, whether it is adultery, whether it is theft. We've got to turn away from those sins, regardless of the situations that we may have because of our lack of understanding what God's Word says has got us in. And so we must let the Bible speak on all subjects, because whether we like it or not, God is going to have the final say, and His Word will be the deciding factor of whether I'm right or wrong and whether He says, enter into the joys of the Lord or depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We thank you, Virgil, and we pray that we will all look to God's word for the answer. Sometimes there are difficult things that interfere with our ability to serve our Lord. We've got to let God be the only deciding factor.
Now, there was a passage that I used earlier, and I just want to make sure I give that passage to our listeners, and that's Matthew chapter 14, and Matthew chapter 14 and verses 3 and 4, where I talked about Herod and talked about John, where John told Herod it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. Again, that's Matthew chapter 14, verses 3 and verse 4. Hopefully that would be helpful to you. We do have another question. The caller is David. He says, how do you deal with a wife that verbally abuses you? And so before I answer this question, I want to go ahead and let our listeners know again that this is a live radio broadcast. Maybe you're just joining us. But you can call in right now. The number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. It's about time for us to take another break, and so we're going to go ahead and take our break, and after the break, I'll go ahead and answer this question. But go ahead, call in. Even while we're at break, that number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157, and the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
All right, we have another question coming in from David. David says, how do you deal with a wife that verbally abuses you? And we said before the break that we would try to answer this question. Again, before I answer it, go ahead and call. If you have your question on your heart, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. 308-9564. Well, to answer this question, I'll call your attention over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, you have Paul telling the husband his responsibility in marriage, also telling the wife of some of her responsibilities in marriage. In verse 28, he says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects the husband." Now, I know this is a lengthy reading, and I read it for two reasons. One, it tells the husband that you have to love your wife. And that means even if she is verbally abusive, you still have to love her and cherish her and treat her appropriately. But also, it tells the wife that she is to respect her husband. And so what I would do is I would share this passage where Ephesians chapter 5, and then also I would share with her Ephesians chapter 4, where the Bible says in verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers." David, I hope that's helpful to you. Again, share these passages. Remember your obligation as well. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564.
Okay, we have Sylvia also calling in today. Sylvia, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your interest in today's broadcast. The question she asked from, she lives in Somerville, "If you repent of your first marriage, are you still bound?" Well, Sylvia, first of all, you don't repent of marriage. You repent of sin. And the sin that makes up a bad marriage is, if we're not do not have the right to be married to them, would be the adultery. There are a lot of other sins, but God is the one that binds two individuals together. And when God binds two together, when God binds two together, then God is the one that binds them together, and no man is to separate. And so the idea of repenting means I must repent of sin. Now, if my sin happens to be the practice of adultery, then I've got to stop that in order to go to heaven. I must live as a eunuch. As we read in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 12. And so that's the sin. It's not the actual marriage. It is the sin that is practiced in such a relationship as that. God is the one that we are serving, and we must ask him. And so that's Matthew chapter 19. And if you're referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, talking about the idea of bondage there, a previous caller mentioned, it's in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 15. "Make this note of you that are Bible students, that word bondage there is not the same as the word bound." That is an entirely different word, meaning enslaved. It is not talking about the binding that God binds to together. And so that's talking about bondage and enslavement that was going on there, not talking about marriage again. There's no such thing as remarriage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So thank you, Sylvia, for calling, and I hope that has been helpful to you. We repent of sin, not of marriages. Okay, I believe we have another question.
Yes, this is from Isaac. Says, "Is a widow free to remarry?" Call your attention over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. The Bible says, "A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord." And so the answer to that question, according to this passage, is yes. If her husband is dead, she is allowed to remarry. Again, to join us right now, you can, although both the lines seem to be taken up, you can join us, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Okay, we're going to our first live caller again. No, you're live on the air. How can we help you?
Yes.
Yes.
Good evening.
Is this, who is this?
This is Ben again.
Okay, Ben, how are you doing? Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
How can we help you?
Where Jesus said, told the woman that God caught in adultery.
Uh-huh.
And when Jesus turned around and said, I'll go and sin no more.
Yes.
Jesus was telling her not to go and do that. Go and do it again.
Right.
And when Jesus said sin no more, that means repent of that sin.
You're right.
And don't go back into it. And he also said in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of Christ, where Christ has set us free,
yes,
and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
You're right. Very good verses there, Ben. We sure do appreciate you holding on and sharing that with us today.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, that was very good comments. So we appreciate Ben. He is a longtime listener. You can call in right now. The number is 308-9564, and we do have one line available right now. But we do want you to know that there is an operator standing by at 553-5157, and you can enroll in a correspondence course that is absolutely free. That number, again, is 553-5157. It will challenge you and to look into God's Word so that we might be able to know what it is that God wants for us in our lives so that we can stand ready before Him. Because as we said earlier, heaven is too wonderful, eternity is too long, and hell is too hot for us to mess this up. We need to be ready to meet Him face to face. Okay, I believe we're ready for our next caller. Who do we have online?
Pensacola.
Yes, there you go. That's right. Well, how are you doing? How can we help you?
I'm fine. I just want to make a comment, and I'll make it quick because I know you're running out of time.
Yes.
First on the marriage, I believe that as one caller said, couples may not have known the Lord when they got married.
Yes.
And you know, if there is 10 people reading the same identical thing in the Bible, there will be disagreement.
There will,
and
but the Bible does say the same
everyone
thing.
Everyone to get in that Bible and knees and pray and ask for understanding, and God will show them. And, you know, we don't need to let people think that God is this person standing in the corner with a pitchfork,
right,
ready
Piccolo?
To knock us dead.
Do you have
he is a loving, merciful, kind God, and He knows what people go through down here on earth.
That's exactly right.
And as far as the abusive relationship, the woman may not even be saved.
Well, and again, Piccolo, we appreciate you calling in, but you know, and again, we have to let God speak. You know, whatever God says, we all have to accept it. We do appreciate.
Well, you know what? Some of the apostles, they wrote Peter and Paul and all of them. They wrote these scriptures, and I still say, and I don't like to argue the Bible. We have to seek God for ourselves.
And we absolutely agree with you.
A lot of things that is being said is not. It's not true.
Okay, and we appreciate your thoughts, absolutely. And again, what we're looking for, as you know, we're on the radio, we try to do our best to go to the Scripture every time without exception. And if today we have answered a question and we have not offered you Scripture, you would be our friend to point out the passages that shows otherwise. Our intent always is to go to God's Word for the answer. There are some things, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't have the answers on, and God will have to judge. You know, we can come up with a number of situations, a number of hypothetical situations even, to which we may not be able to find an answer on, and we'll let God answer those questions because, after all, He is the judge. And I think that's what our last caller was saying. You know, God knows, God understands our situation, but now what we do not ever want to do is let our situation overshadow what we read in the pages of the Scripture. We do appreciate your calling. Again, it's time for us to take do we have time to take a break, or I know our time is running out.
Mm-mm. Go ahead with the next question.
Okay. I believe we have another question.
Yes, we have Elizabeth asking this question. I've been married for 1.5 years, and my husband has committed adultery and abused me. Should I divorce him? Well, Elizabeth, I would direct you to read the book of Hosea, the whole book. It is an allegory between God and His people in the form of Hosea and Gomer, his wife. And Hosea never gave up on Gomer. And so that, if we're going to try and to fulfill role that God would have us to do, there's a great example where Gomer never gave up on his adulterating wife, and he kept on hanging in there, even bought her back from bondage one time to try and make the marriage work. Now, I know it was a parallel between God and his people, but God never gave up on us. We should try to never give up on them. Now, should we let them abuse us? Oh, absolutely not. And there are laws and law enforcement agencies to take care of things like that. But as far as divorcing him, well, that's only something you can answer. The higher ground would be to fill the role that God filled with Hosea. However, you do have that option. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9 is clear on that fact. Matthew 19 and verse 9, Elizabeth, thank you for calling in your question today. We have another caller?
I think we do, yes. If I am separated from my husband and he commits fornication, is that adultery? This is Michelle, I think it is. Thanks for calling in. Again, I point you right back to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. Just because you're separated, that does not dissolve the marriage relationship. You're still absolutely married to that man. And if he goes outside the boundaries of that marriage, even though you guys are apart from one another, he is still bound by what we read of in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. And again, go ahead and read Matthew chapter 19. You can read the entire chapter. It would be helpful. God is very clear in that text. And the language in that text is so difficult or so strong that even Jesus' disciples in that time period, they had a great difficulty with it. And in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 12, he says, "But there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake." A eunuch is one who does not have sexual relationship. He says, "He who is able to accept it, let him accept it." Notice his disciples and how that they understood what he says. In verse 13, in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 19, his disciples said to him, "If such is the case of the man and his wife, it is better not to marry." You see, his disciples understood that this was very strong language and this was a serious matter. Hopefully this is helpful to you. Again, I encourage our listeners today specifically to read Matthew chapter 19 in its entirety.
Okay, we have Miss Louise calling in this question. What scripture do you turn to when you have a demon? And can the demon hurt you? Well, Louise, I would encourage you to read Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 2, which brings out that that when demons or when the Holy Spirit or the prophets will leave the land, then the demons will also leave the land, and clean spirits will also depart. And that was to be at the end of the time when the Bible was completed. The demons were allowed to possess people for a time so that God could show he had power over those demons. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, "And it shall be about in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall be no longer be remembered, and I shall cause prophets and unclean spirits to depart from the land." And so those supernatural powers of demons, now are they still alive? Yes. But supernatural overruling people's will today, they do not have the power. The Bible goes on to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so we have the power to resist him if we will just look for that power to resist. The only way that we can be empowered that way, turn to his word. And thus, the purpose of this program, Let the Bible Speak, gives us that avenue to turn to his word and see what God has to say. Well, we're out of town today. It's been a very lively day today, and we want you to know that sometimes we will introduce these more difficult subjects just so that we can see what the Bible has to say, even when it is not popular. God says, preach the word in season and out of season. This was a subject that was definitely out of season or unpopular today, and thus we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to bring salvation. Are you listening? Listen again next week at 2 o'clock as we let the Bible speak.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm weeping, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day I am reaping.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.